back to RBKD. It is a Soul Train Thursday edition of RBKD. But this time, my man Zay Collier is back there twisting and tweaking the dials, DJing us on a Soul Train Thursday. So, really, it's whatever Zay decides. But I will say that Zay's tastes line up with the Soul Train Thursday. Is that your intent, Zay? Or are you just feeling kind of Soul Train esque today?
No, I knew it was Soul Train Thursday with y'all. All right. So,
making sure.
I had to represent.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. My man Zay doing a great job DJing a Soul Train Thursday. And he's not going to be here for much longer, too. Right, Zay, you leaving us at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, Trey Allen's taking over.
He's got a show tonight. Man.
I know he's got a show tonight. So make sure you tune in for the right call, my man Isaiah Collier. That is 8 to 9. So once we're done here, 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. At 8 to 9, you got the right call with my man Isaiah Collier. And Longhorn Weekly at 7. So don't go anywhere after that, man.
Yeah,
we loaded the whole night. So Longhorn Weekly. As a matter of fact, when did Craig Ray record that today? Earlier today?
They're doing it live.
Two weeks ago.
Huh? So 2 weeks ago. So we're gonna see how. No, it's live. It's live. Yeah.
Doing it live. Oh man, doing it live from the Pluckers on campus right there.
I tell you what, they're so
nice.
Yeah, they are. They're so Rio Grande. They're so all over just things that are happening right now. The Hawaiian shirt guy.
Was great.
They jumped on that. Do you see the little white kid, white guy in Hawaiian shirt?
Man, he just had a kind of little town hall with Chris Beard and Coach Beard. Coach Beard and Coach Beard, the Coach Beard from Ted Lasso, who is also a famous Coach Beard. And they sat down and had a students-only event. I'm telling you, Chris Beard understands the assignment.
He
and
does.
The assignment is to form
too much show. He's that kid who's doing too much work.
He is. He's doing extra work.
I would have been pissed off at trying to make all of us look bad.
He's that. Yeah,
and I was buddies with Ogden in college. Ogden, you weren't that guy, so don't give me that crap.
No, you're right. After class, he's like, "You got any extra credit?" And he's like, "Dude, you already average like a 95 in the class. Yeah. Any extra credit for it, world,
Mr. Noel? Do you need any help with that move you talked about?"
Shut up, kid.
That is Chris Beard right now, man.
But
he's
when it's for
it.
Us, it's good.
It's great for us. So that is us. So my man Zay is right. After we are done, you got Lohan Weekly and then the right call with Isaiah Collier from 8 to 9. You can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And my man Zay at Ain't That Zay in the Twitterverse. You can follow him. And he's 8_Zay. My bad. 8_Zay. Underscore. So those are already there's already another Ain't That Zay out there.
I've had this Twitter for a long time. So
okay.
Who knows?
Was it Isaiah Thomas after the Knicks stuff?
No. Isaiah Thompson, anyway. That's the other one. Isaiah
Thompson. Okay.
Yeah.
But he was named after Isaiah Thomas.
You were?
Zay's much cooler.
Isaiah Thomas, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Middle name Jordan after Michael Jordan.
Think about when he was born.
That's
and his
crazy.
Dad, what he is.
Dad's
a hoops guy.
I didn't know that. We talked about that yesterday. About the names. Remember we talked about the names? And it was like a lot of basketball fans who played themselves as
Jordan
athletes at high levels, they end up naming their kids after great basketball players, and their kids have the genes of great basketball players, and they end up being named after the greats. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Michael, Jordan, all that kind of stuff.
I would have had a kid, it would have been Billy Bates Dunn.
Oh, man. Billy Bates Dunn.
Not the safety from Tennessee, but the Cowboys, Nickelback.
I was going to say, okay.
The three-time All-American second baseman for the University of Texas.
You got to let people know that. See, you're right. He's not even the most, he's the most famous Billy Bates for you.
Easy.
Yeah. Ain't a lot of them. It's only like two of them.
Yeah, right.
But you're right. All right. Just want to make sure we clarify that. All right. We'll get to some Longhorn football discussion because there's a lot of nuggets out there about Texas football. There's the Gary Patterson rumors that we'll get to, and there's substance to them. We've heard from multiple sources that there is mutual interest between Gary Patterson and Texas. And, of course, we know the history with CDC and Gary Patterson. They have a history. So that could be good news for Texas, but we'll get into it later on. Of course, we'll talk more about the All Big 12 teams. Also, their release. 4 Longhorns make the first team. That's X-Man, Xavier Worthy, Bijan Robinson, Cameron Dicker, and Derek Kerstetter, surprisingly enough. No Longhorns make the second team. You do have, I believe it's 12 Longhorns who got some love for honorable mention. All right, let's get to the Cowboys discussion here because it's amazing how banged up and how really just honestly, how undermanned the Saints are going to be in this game. And I looked at it. Nick Underhill, I think, is the one who had the tweet. So I want to make sure I give him credit. Yeah, Nick Underhill at Nick underscore Underhill.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get that right. He claims he follows the Saints. All right. So his tweet, I'll just read it verbatim. He says, so the Saints will be without their quarterback one, their QB one, their first team running back, their top wide receiver, that's Michael Thomas, their top tight end, their starting right tackle, their starting left tackle, and their starting left guard. All going to be out tonight. Now, some of those, Jameis Winston and really the Michael Thomas, they've been out for a while. Jameis Winston's been out for a few weeks, but Michael Thomas been out all season long.
Yeah.
They've been dealing with that for a while.
That was off-season stuff. Remember
exactly.
The late surgery and Peyton was pissed. And
So that's not a new thing. They've adapted to that for a while, but this will be the fourth week without Alvin Kamara, I believe. It'll be their fifth week without their starting left tackle, Teron Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've just been hit with the injury bug really, really hard. But on the flip side.
And Ramchick on the other side, right?
Yes. He's going to be out too. Yeah. So both of their starting tackles are out. And I don't know how long Ramchick's been out. I don't know if it's a new injury for him or if he's been out for a while. I hadn't really read.
He's Polish, and I mean this in a good way. Probably back soon.
Even if he's got to sever a limb to
they're
get
tough,
back.
They're tough people.
He's a sever a limb to get back. Runny Lott style, he'll do it. But on the flip side, my man Bobby Belt does a great job following the Cowboys. Bobby Belt TX. He threw this little nugget out there for Cowboys fans. If Amari Cooper is indeed able to go tomorrow night, it will be the first time all season that Dak Prescott has had his full complement of his top three wide receivers, all right? So I have Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper. Also Tyron Smith and Zach Martin. So he's starting left tackle and arguably the top offensive lineman on the offensive line with Zach Martin and his top three wide receivers. Hasn't had that group together. The full complement of the Avengers hadn't been together all season long. And he also put this little nugget out there. Dak Prescott in six career full games with his full complement of wide receivers, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. He's 70% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a 105 passer rating. So he doesn't often get a chance to get all of them together, but they're really hard to defend when you have all three of those wide receivers out there.
With what should be, quote-unquote, all five starters back on the offensive line, right? You should have that. That's why I said quote-unquote.
Yeah,
so
well,
Steele's out.
Steele, because, I don't know.
Collins is back.
That's a good point. What do you put Steele? But you're right, I guess so, because Connor McGovern now is starting for Connor Williams.
So it should be all five of those guys. Zeke's not healthy, but, this should be ready to go. And you hit the nail on the head yesterday. They do not. They're really stiff against the run.
They are, man.
Really good against the run. So I'm not sure. I don't know if Dallas goes complete Tampa Bay mode and ditches that right away or tries it a little bit. But if you've got the weapons outside, and also, what does New Orleans give up, Rod, defensively? I like Dennis Allen. He's a good DC. He'll have a good game plan.
Mm-hmm.
But they've given up a lot of big plays through the air.
Yeah. No, and you're right. I mean, I think you may be right that you're going to have to go with the quick passing game as an extension of the running game. This New Orleans Saints rush defense is stingy. How about this? They've allowed only 91 rushing yards per game. That's third best in the league. They've allowed only 3.4 yards per carry. That's the best yards per carry defense in the league. Yards per carry allowed, I should say. The Saints are the only defense to allow fewer than 130 rushing yards over expected this season. Essentially, you start looking at it, the best way to attack this rush defense is with the quick passes. Here's a little nugget for you. They are the worst team in the NFL in defending what Next Gen defines as a quick pass, a pass released in under 2.5 seconds. The Saints rank 32nd in completion percentage allowed, defending quick passes, 82% completion percentage, yards per attempt, which is 7.9, and passer rating 115.9. So that is really how you attack it if you're Dak Prescott. The Cowboys can do that now with their full complement of wide receivers. And Pollard, who is one of those, he is one of those dual threat backs, right?
He is.
I call him a smart back. He can hurt you in a number of different ways, and he's really explosive out of the backfield as a receiver.
He can get 18 touches and 10 are out of the backfield via the air. And that I do expect them to go that direction. Maybe not as much as Tampa Bay in that game plan, where they're probably going to try out the run a little bit. The other thing, too, is with DeMarcus Lawrence coming back, does that free up Micah Parsons for Dan Quinn to do some different stuff with him and not just be getting after the passer?
I think you need to, because Taysom Hill is not really as much of a threat as a pocket passer. So, you know, if you were going up against
his only threat is running at that point.
Yeah, right? If you got a guy that can beat you from the pocket, like a Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or, hell, even like a Kirk Cousins, right, a traditional pocket passer, yeah, then you want Michael Parsons, a pass rusher. He's one of the – he's proven statistically right now to be one of the top pass rushers in the league. I think Pro Football Focus says he has the highest pass rushing grade in the NFL right now. They got him at a 92.6 pass rushing grade when he's just a pure pass rusher.
He could be defensive MVP.
He can be
He's rookie of the year.
I totally agree.
We
with
know
that.
That.
Yeah, I think he can be defensive player of the year. He's got a good shot at it. But in this game, since you know that Taysom Hill's not gonna pick you apart as a pocket passer, but he is a great athlete playing quarterback, and they're gonna utilize him as a plus one in the running game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing more off ball linebacker here. As a spy sometimes on Taysom Hill, especially now since you have DeMarcus Lawrence back, so you know you can generate some type of pass rush with him. And, yes, situationally I'd put him there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him situationally playing the spy, situationally playing some off-ball linebacker just to try to counter what Taysom Hill is going to be doing from the pocket. I said it before, and I'll say it again, I truly believe it. If anybody can bootleg a game plan missing your starting left tackle, quarterback, running back, and your best wide receiver, it is Sean Payton. He is the MacGyver of head coaches in the league. He's done this before. Remember, without Drew Brees, if you had looked at – now, I guess you got to put in his 2020 stats, but his 2020 stats now have him, I think, at 13-10 overall without Drew Brees, like in his entire career. But if you take out – everything before 2019, he's 13-7. So he's figured it out. He's starting to figure out how to win without Drew Brees. He just hadn't had to for a long time. So I think as he gets more acclimated to it and he has some of his guys healthy, I think Sean Payton's a hell of a coach. Like I said, I think he's kind of the MacGyver of coaches. I still remember it was Dirk Cutter, the former head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks way back in the day. He said he was doing research on the Saints.
Old Arizona State guy.
Yeah. He was doing research on the Saints. He said they played them twice a year. And he claimed in an interview, and it just blew my mind. It stood out so much to me that I screenshotted it. He said that he counted 28 different personnel groupings from New Orleans Saints doing film study.
That's crazy.
28?
Yeah, I mean, but how do you create that?
I don't think I can get past like 12 if I tried to break them all down just real off the top of my head. He's counted 28 different personnel groupings. For those who don't know, personnel groupings are when they say 21 personnel.
It's not the formation.
Exactly. Not the formation. It's the players you have on with the specific positional players on the field. And they refer to it as 21. The first number is the amount of running backs. The second number is the amount of tight ends. So when they go 21, they're talking about two backs, one tight end. They go 11, one back, one tight end. 10, one back, zero tight ends. And that's usually how they do it. Apparently, 28 personnel groupings, you got to add some numbers or do something else kind of funky.
Hard.
I don't even know how you get there.
It's almost mathematically impossible.
It seems that way.
And
but
what Rod's talked about a lot, too, is your personnel groupings and formations can be different. So you send on, which is how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Because they've got someone with binoculars.
Exactly.
Who's saying, hey, 21 personnel, 21 personnel, 21 personnel. So that's two backs, one tight end. Well, that could be empty formation.
Yep. That's exactly right.
If you've got versatile guys.
If you've got a Bijan Robinson.
And that'll really
there,
mess people up.
That's exactly right. That's when you do it, because they're trying to counter by putting a rush defense on the field. They're going to put their run defense on the field.
Right. And it could be five wide.
Exactly. And you could go spread them out and then have a linebacker covering Bijan Robinson in the slot. And they go, holy Chicago, we don't want that. And there you go.
Or Georgia Brock Bowers, our white tight end we're talking about, number 19, who's a stud.
The one from Cali?
I showed you from Napa Valley.
Ooh, man.
Man, was he sucking on the vine?
That dude is, he looks like a baby Gronk out there.
I showed Rod some film yesterday. Gronk. He's really fast.
Man.
I think Michael Mayer's more of a Gronk. This guy's more of a.
They don't feature him enough. I'm going to say that right
Kittle.
Now. They don't feature him enough. They need to feature him more.
They need to.
Because he's a matchup nightmare.
He totally is.
So, anyway, let
me give you some numbers here. Getting back to your point about the quick passing. So, the Saints are the worst team in the NFL in defending quick passes. This next-gen stats. that as passes released with under 2.5 seconds to throw. In that subset, the Saints ranked 32nd in completion percentage allowed, yards per attempt, and passer rating. Meanwhile, the Cowboys' Dak Prescott is on his way to career highs on quick passes in each of those three categories. So we talk about big strength, big weakness. Mm-hmm. Quick passing game should kill the Saints tonight.
Yeah. So a lot of Cowboys fans are going to be upset if the Cowboys don't try to run the ball. But the matchup data would tell you that they shouldn't try to run the ball against his Saints defense. They should pass to open up the run.
Mm-hmm.
And they should almost soften up the Saints defense with the pass, force them to defend the pass. When they do that, that'll open up your run lanes and your rush lanes. But we'll see if that's what the Cowboys do. I will say Kellen Moore has been, I think he's been really, really great at taking advantage of those specific matchup data points that we're talking about.
Yep.
And even going back to their first game against Tampa, when you said, man, they shouldn't run against this defense. It's been the best rush defense in the NFL for 2 years. They have the best wideout core in the NFL, potentially, so they should come out and just throw it. And Tampa Bay had, I think they were missing like two of their starting DBs, and it was the right formula. They lost the game, but it was the right move offensively. I think similarly, it's the right move in this game, too. Come out throwing the ball.
I'm with you. And that should be the extension of your running game. We'll see what they can do with that. At the end of the day, the Cowboys' offensive line just has to be better. They have to protect Dak more, and they have to be able to open up enough lanes when they do run. That'll be tough against the Saints' run defense, but they got to protect better, man.
Yeah, but that's, you know, the quick passing game should be an insulation of pass protection for you, right?
It should
be. Getting the ball out really quickly, getting the ball out in rhythm. Yeah, so, you know, you shouldn't have that many pressures allowed when you're getting the ball out that quickly. That's why it, not just a passing game, not just a drop back passing game, no, a quick passing game. As you point, the precision quick passing game, that specifically is what's going to hurt the Saints. If you hold that ball too long, then the odds drop. Or I should say they flip in favor of the Saints defense, because that's when that defense, they actually do have some pass rushers that can get after you.
We can get into this a little bit, but you know I rarely watch the early morning shows or the morning shows, right, where they're screaming at each other
and
they create something to act like they disagree and it's straight up theater in front of all of us. So I watched a little bit today, and I'll actually give them credit. It was not the usual theater I see. It was Shannon Sharp and Skip, and they actually were having a real conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
Which is, yeah.
I'm in. I'm sure the ratings were down.
They were having
an
off day.
Yeah, it was like, okay, it's an off day, but it's actually pretty good. And some of that was still boiled up to a, hey, are you really talking about this? But it got my attention, and Skip is obviously a Cowboys fan. And Sharp had some good points, and he's going through, it's very prisoner of the moment, which all those shows are going to be. We do a show every day for 4 hours. We try and not do that. We can sometimes get sucked into it just because that's what you're doing. That's what they do for a living, to where it's, this guy was the GOAT yesterday, and he sucks today. But they got into a real conversation about where they'd put Dak. And obviously a lot of that is built on numbers this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had him at number 11 or 12 as the best quarterback in the league. That's just going too far, right?
Yeah, I still think he's a top 10 quarterback in the
league.
I do
too. And they were talking about how up and down he's been.
Yeah, the Cowboys have been up and down, and maybe you can say that's a result of him, but I think it's the injuries, right? We talked about how they haven't really had this full complement for Dak, his left tackle, Zach Martin, and the three top wide receivers all season long. And even on defense, we talked about how DeMarcus Lawrence, right? No Neville Gallimore, no Randy Gregory. Those guys have been injured, so your pass rush has suffered. I think when the Cowboys get a little bit healthier, and I know nobody's completely healthy, just a little healthier, that they'll be more consistent with their identity and their formula. When you don't have Tyron Smith, your starting left tackle, as you point out, pass protection is tough. When Zeke is banged up, the running game is a little inconsistent. When your receivers are gone, you can't beat man-to-man coverage, so all the DBs are playing, you know, bump and run up against you and playing really physical and storing out the timing. It's forcing you to hold the ball too long, and the pass rush gets there. So it's just discombobulated in a lot of different areas because you don't have your marquee frontline starters. You get more of those guys back, which they do, I think you'll see more consistency. But there's no doubt about it. The Cowboys, this is a must-win. You lost three out of your last four.
It feels like
two
that.
In a row. It feels like it's a do-or-die situation for the Cowboys.
It's not a must-win, but it feels like one.
It feels like it. It does.
Because the East is awful. They could lose this and still get in the playoffs and still make a run. We understand that.
And the Saints are as banged up as any team in the league right now.
They're more banged up than you.
Exactly.
So you can't give that in this game.
No, you can't. because if you don't win this game, then I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to say sky's falling, but Cowboys got serious issues. This is the game. This is the serious issue game. They lose it, then they got some Shakespearean flaws that may be fatal flaws.
We'll talk more Cowboys coming up at 6 o'clock. Coming up next, we talk a little bit of gambling. We got some big games this weekend. John Price will tell you what to take coming up next.
Like that five-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
All regrets in life, you deal with them, you move on. Some of that can be gambling. We definitely know that. Welcome to One and Done. It's time to talk about what's going on this weekend. He is one of our favorites and he's really damn good at what he does. It's John Price, courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, CEO of SportsInformationTraders.com. John is featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finance. You probably see him a lot of places, and for a reason, because his company will make you money. They will win you a lot, and it's about really kind of understanding your bankroll and how you play that throughout the year. So a lot of listeners have jumped on board, and they've done very well. So John's going to try and help us out here right now. Once again, get to sportsinformationtraders.com. You can call them at 866-441-2711. We welcome John onto the show. John, we appreciate it, man. It's been a lot of fun this year. And as much as Texas was up and down, you never really had them as part of your big plays. But for the most part,
we didn't. We had them on the air, of course. We talked about the Longhorns on the air, and for a while there, it really looked like they were going to be off to a promising season, and then just a lot of inconsistency. And I'll tell you, it's tough because there's a lot of talent in Austin on that sideline, and then you just really could see it all kind of slipping away from, late collapses and beyond. But listen, there's better days ahead there, just like right now. We're in December. This is a very crucial month for sports wagering. And I got to tell you, I mean, we've heard about kids transferring and coaches leaving, but it feels like a monsoon of activity that's going on right now. And with the bowl games coming up, it is going to be a major challenge for odds makers to figure out where to go with those opening spreads. When you see coaches leaving, it creates the element that cannot be qualified or quantified in a Vegas odd, and that is how the team's going to react. You have kids entering the transfer portal before the last football game. You have other kids who are going to play in bowl games that don't really mean much, and they're more thinking about the NFL. So when it comes to personnel, schemes, who's playing, you need new information to figure out how to win at these bowl games, not what you've seen already. And we want to show people immediately the value of having someone in your corner, not just with the right games, but with the right wager amounts. And we did this probably about 6 weeks ago. We're going to do it again for brand new clients. It's called our five-play guarantee for $129. You go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. Again, sportsinformationtraders.com. You'll see on the homepage right there, five-play guaranteed package. It's $129. The guarantee is we will go 4-1 or better this weekend, or you will get the rest of football in 2021 for free. So go to our website. Let us show you how it's done this weekend. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com.
You know, it's an interesting point you bring up, too, because you've got Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. They're obviously going to be in a bowl game. Maybe they could be, depending on what happens this weekend, be in the playoff. You've got Brian Kelly down at LSU. Lincoln Riley goes to USC, but Oklahoma doesn't have a coach. They're going to be in a bowl game. How exactly do you play that? Is that just you really having good connections within and good sources within the community?
Well, I think a lot of it all comes down, in my opinion, to the personnel that's remaining. Coaching, obviously, there are certain coaches that can get the best out of their players, but the system is not going to change because a coach has moved on. Brian Kelly's thinking about LSU right now, but Notre Dame's not going to change the way they try to beat teams. Same thing with Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got, what they're going through right now is seismic. I mean, they've got crucial recruits and crucial people who are on the field right now who may or may not play another football game. So in that regard, you kind of want to wait and see where Vegas puts those lines out there and assess if there's value there, and if so, which way you're going to go with it. I know historically, and we'll talk about this in the upcoming weeks, we do have a bowl program where we focus on a lot of activity within the bowl games. But what's really important is you've got to be able to wager on where there's true value. And some of these matchups that are going to be put together in the next couple of weeks lose a lot of that value because of the unknown. So we're going to focus on what we do know. We're going to focus on the systems that we expect in those bowl games and how they match up against each other. And historically, we do very well during the bowl season. And we've seen coaching changes before, so this is nothing new. But what we're seeing right now feels completely different. I mean, when is the last time you saw a coach who was on the doorstep to potentially being in the college football playoffs leave for another job? I'm not saying yes or no, right or wrong. I'm just saying you don't normally see that kind of thing happen when your team is on the cusp of potentially playing for a national championship. So you got to be smart in the way you're wagering. You got to do more than just look back at the highlights and that type of thing. You got to use new information. You got to find out who's going to be playing. You got to find out if the schemes are going to remain the same. And when you do that, when we do that, we have a great idea of which way we're going to go in these bowl games. And this weekend, we've zeroed in on five games that I expect to win, each and every one of them. And that's why I'm putting out the five-play guarantee. It's $129. Go to our website. You'll see it, sportsinformationtraders.com. If you buy it and you're a new client and you have a place to wager and we don't go 4-1 or better in these five games, then you're going to get the rest of December. There's a lot of bowl games coming. Rest of December, NFL and college for free. You can also call us at 866-441-2711.
Good deal right there. So you probably will go 4-1 or 5-0, but if you don't, like you said, NFL and college, you get the rest of the month free, and these guys win much more than they lose. Just $129, and you get the purchase of five of those plays. They don't go 4-1 or 5-0. Then you get the rest of the month. Now we've got the game to look at, a game we've been thinking about for a long time now. Georgia, a 6-point favorite over Alabama. I watch a ton of college football, and my eyes would tell me Georgia's better than 6 points against Alabama. But there's also that part of my brain that has been watching college football for a long time that thinks, I know Jimbo got Nick Saban, but most assistants don't, and that's kind of in the back of my head. How would you play this game with Georgia as a 6-point favorite?
Yeah, well, the line opened at Georgia -4, and it's now at 6. So I think, you know, if odds makers had opened this line higher, I think we would have seen a little bit of confusion among bettors. I think what they wanted was to draw early money for Georgia, and they did. And I wouldn't be surprised if this number holds steady and maybe starts to trickle back as we get towards kickoff. It is at 6 right now, and let's start with Georgia. They're coming off an easy win over Georgia Tech, and I think what's really important for them is that they set their own tone, do what they've done all year. Georgia is playing the role of Alabama. This is what Alabama has done for the better part of the last decade. They don't worry about who they're playing. They just concern themselves with how they're going to play. They're going to run at you. They're going to beat you up. They're going to be aggressive, and they know that they're the best team on the field. Georgia has to play it that way and not think about the fact that, oh, this is Alabama, Nick Saban, they've owned us for the most part. This is Georgia's year. Now, Alabama, this is what I love about college football, because there's so much theater that is within the game itself.
Yeah.
Alabama, for a decade now, has been the team to beat in college football. They've been at the top, sometimes two levels above the next team down. And they've had to find their own motivation to play other teams because they've always had that target. Now, for the first time in 6 years, they're an underdog in a football game. It's been 6 years. So the motivation that they're going to use in this football game is being handed to them. They were given 4 points with the opening line, and the public is still on Georgia. So Alabama goes into this game. They're finally going to be the looser of the two teams. with nothing to lose in this situation. Georgia, by the way, if they lose this game, I expect them to still play for the college football playoffs. That doesn't go into the way that I would look at this game. But I think if I'm looking for value in this game, I'm going to look at the total, which is right around 49 points right now. And I think it's down because of the way that Auburn stifled Alabama last week, and also the way that Georgia's defense has played this year. But I think Alabama's going to bring it all this week, and I think Georgia's going to play very well, and I think when I put those elements together, if I'm leaning in one way or another, I'm going to go with the over 49 points. I think it's going to be a great football game. Georgia, you know, listen, they could lose, and still they're going to the college football playoffs, and they know that. But this is their chance to bury Alabama, so this is must-watch TV. Not a game I'm going to bet on, though. I'd rather enjoy it, not touching this game. I've got my five games, and the five games I'll be on are the five games you will get. If you go to our website right now, sportsinformationtraders.com, it's a five-play guarantee. It's $129. We must go 4-1 or better, or you get the rest of December for free with our company. So go there right now, or you can call us 866-441-2711. It is going to be a great month in December. And when the bowl games come, it's going to be another beautiful wave right into Christmas. We look forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. People should definitely sign on. And that's one of the things I like. I kind of talked about it at the beginning where you didn't really – you didn't have, with your real plays, a Texas lean or against them. You didn't have a bet on it, but you were actually pretty accurate, even just for S&G's doing it on the show, and you're kind of doing the same thing with Alabama and Georgia. Before we let you go here, John, quick thoughts just on, is there any part of you, because Georgia's felt like two notches above everyone they've played. I've wondered all year if they didn't give, I know he was injured at times, but JT Daniels enough airtime or enough play time to actually give them a real expanded passing game if they happen to get into that type of game?
Well, they could, but I really believe, you know, when Daniels got injured early, there was this thought that it was not going to put the Georgia Bulldogs in the best position to run the table the way that they have. But what Bennett gives them is the running element that Daniels doesn't. And you know, the SEC is fast football, and as is the Big 12. You've got to have a quarterback that can take off with the football if necessary. And what Bennett has done is he has given them another element to their offense that really was not there with Daniels. Now Daniels is healthy, and he could be used. And I can remember years when Alabama was sitting there in the college football playoffs, and you know, all of the talk was Jalen Hurts, and all of a sudden here comes Tua on the field, and he has the ability to make a play. So I look at Georgia right now, and again, I don't want to say they're playing with house money in this game this weekend because, you know, they want to win, but they're going to be in the Final Four whether they lose or whether they win, and they have two able-bodied quarterbacks. They have a stifling defense. They have a ton of talent. They look like what we know as Alabama. They're just in a different position right now, and I think the only thing that can really slow them down is a team like Alabama. Alabama batters people when they play them. They run people over, and they're a very physical team. And Georgia needs to get through this game this week without any major injuries. And if they can do that and they find themselves in the Final Four and everybody's healthy, I think they have a tremendous shot to win the whole thing. But of course, this weekend I think is going to be great, and I think that it's nice, in my opinion, it's nice to see Alabama as an underdog. You know, it's new for Nick Saban, it's new for that school, and it really, I mean, I can't even imagine what they're saying to each other right now as they're seeing that the public is leaning towards Georgia after everything, and it's just going to be great football. Aren't we just lucky to be able to win this kind of stuff, huh?
We really are, and you guys can help out and make some money as well. It's 866-441-2711, 866-441-2711. It's John Price. You've probably seen him on either Yahoo or Forbes. You've seen him all over the place. Sports Information Traders is a spot to go to. SportsInformationTraders.com. They'll help you out. They've got a great deal set up. You're going to win either way. just give him a call or get online. John, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you so much.
John Price right there. I think he makes some good points. Georgia-Alabama, Rod, that is the game. There's some good games. I'm pumped about Houston-Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, it's some great games for a chance. I'm pumped about the Big 12 title game. I think it'll end up being
you're high.
Good. What?
No, you are. You're right. You're right about
the Big 12 title game?
Yeah, no, you are. You are.
I think you have stylistically teams that are very similar.
Yep.
Like Baylor and Oklahoma State try to win games the same way. They run the football.
Field position.
Great defense. Field position. Yeah. So, stylistically. But I'm with you. I think all these games are pretty exciting. Pac-12 championship.
Here's the thing, though. It's Friday by itself.
That makes
it
sexy.
So, unless you're one of those
that makes it sexy. No,
cool people who goes out on Friday, then...
That makes it good. Yeah,
it makes it good.
Yeah, you're right.
Got nothing to do. I'll take it.
It's all about the timing.
Hey, coming up next, off the record, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Chris Beard and what this promotional department is doing is amazing. There's a guy who's cheering on the team, and they find him because of his Hawaiian shirt.
DD Mega Doo-Doo. I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain band comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKB. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And, for the record, we actually have another producer for the show, another member of the show, I should say.
We got two big dogs today, man.
Trey Elling, I don't know how he got roped into this, but he's now having to come on and work overtime.
Merry Christmas, Chad. Show a little bit of respect for this show, station, and give them a full-time producer.
And happy birthday, too, Chad.
Happy birthday. Exactly.
Today's Chad's birthday?
No, Christmas is.
Oh, is it really?
That's
Trey's
present.
I know. I didn't know that.
It explains a lot of his attitude.
That does explain his personality a little bit.
Yes, it does.
Makes sense. At Courtesy Wave, my man Trey Elling. Thanks, Trey. We appreciate you, man. We know you got family obligations and
he
stuff.
He does.
And we appreciate you helping us
he
out.
He can't hear right now.
Well, I appreciate you making it seem like I'm having to sacrifice time with the family to be up here right now.
You
which
do.
I guess I am, but at the same time, I don't have to be around my family for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I get to roll in right at bedtime, read some bedtime stories, and then we're good to go.
So you miss bath time and then having to gather all the kids to eat and all that. You just get to come in when everything's done, when they're worn out.
Just their general merriment and always wanting to ask me questions and their enthusiasm and always wanting to be a beacon of joy when I'm just trying to be a bitter old man after the workday.
This is what people say you should have kids for all those reasons, right? Because they inspire you and all the other crap.
They do for a few years.
Then
he's
it wears
done with
off.
That.
It loses its little bit of luster. All right, we'll appreciate
there
it.
There is a one hitter outside, and I wonder who that was from. So
it's by the curb there.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I had
there.
Choices. I had Snoop, Zay, but I think it's Trey.
I think it's more than one person. I think it's a shared one hitter is what's going on.
No, it's probably Dave's.
It's probably the company one hitter.
Yeah. Or you look at the clock, probably Janet.
Yeah, depending on what time of day it is. It's probably different people. It's like a carousel for that one hitter. All right, how about this? My man Chris Beard. How about that? Did Chris Beard, remember he said he was going to give up something for the season?
Beer.
It's going to be beer for him.
Yeah, so he said he's going straight from the bottle. Hard liquor.
You know what I would like to know? I know this is none of our business. I'd like to know what the players gave up. I'd like a running list, like a tally.
I thought somebody was going to follow up on that,
okay.
And nobody ever did.
It was a thing, though,
yeah,
right? They're
absolutely.
Doing that.
And
it's not one hitters or sex. Like, you think about being a college student?
No, I want to know. And I bet somebody said sex, and Chris Beard was like, nah, man, be realistic.
Probably half of them said reading, and he said, no, we can't do that.
Can't do that. Can't give that up. No.
Nope.
But beer is a good one. Beer is right there where it's something you enjoy, but you can go without beer for four months? What is it, 4 months?
Yeah, he can go to whiskey or wine.
That's what he got. Yeah, ha-ha.
So,
I can still get my buzz on.
Right.
Just
even
have,
more so.
Can't have my favorite IPA.
Right.
Whatever it is, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, no, nobody like that.
I want that follow-up.
I want that. Somebody in the media, please do. I want a list. I really do want to know a list. And if it's personal, then, we don't want to know. I don't want to intrude. But if they're willing to tell us, I want to know. Did you give up chocolate?
Right.
Did you give up, fried food? Whatever, queso, Tex-Mex, whatever it may be.
You've got a good one.
What's a good one?
Consciously mastering your own domain.
We talked about that yesterday.
I was saying consciously, like in your sleep, you would automatically.
Well,
like unconsciously, you would do it.
Moist dreams are a thing.
I don't even want to know. I don't want to know.
I'm going to Google that term. I'm going to make it to the next 2 hours.
I don't even know what that is. I'm 40 years old. I've just now heard that term for the first time.
Guys, when you bring the bullpen catcher in to finish off the final couple of innings when you're up by 15 runs and it's getaway day, this is the sort of content that you get.
I know, but the problem is you're so good at what you do, you're not the bullpen catcher. You're actually Rob Dibble. You've just been drinking as a bullpen catcher for like 7 innings back there.
Gentlemen.
Doing a couple bumps.
Gentlemen, I prefer Arm Barn. Let's be honest, okay? Keep it politically correct
it's
now.
Sea kittens.
I'm sorry.
It's 21st. It's 2021 now. Arm barn.
Go to the arm barn.
And
get the lefty. Don't call him lefty. Shut up.
Chris Beard, and this guy understands the assignment, and he really does. He's trying to connect with the student body. He had the party at the tower, the darty, they call it. Another term I just found out
Did
about.
Did you find out about that?
Found out it from Chris Beard.
So that was before the game.
Yeah, and he got it from Brock Cunningham told him about a darty. A party during the day is a darty.
Okay.
That's what people in college, we were darting all the time.
We didn't
know what a darty was.
We were doing a lot of the stuff and even more hardcore than they were. We just didn't label it.
We didn't have Urban Dictionary, so we didn't label it.
And I used to make fun of our labels back then. Do you remember how they'd go, we're going to go to the pre-party before the pre-party, and then the party, and then there's the post-party and the post-party.
You were pre-gaming.
It's 5 things. We're going to a party, okay?
Yeah, you didn't know you were pre-gaming.
We're getting lit tonight.
Lit?
And different lit.
It's lit.
That was our old school lit, remember?
There are different kinds of lit now.
There are.
Yeah.
Lit for us was just trashed.
Shots. Wasted.
Weed, alcohol, whatever.
Yeah, and other things. Ghetto Boys made a song about it. But he actually, how about this? This is another thing he's doing that I think is really cool. So I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing or not. So apparently in the game versus Sam Houston, they played in front of the student-only crowd in Gregory Gym. It was really great. After the party at the tower, they walked down to Gregory Gym. Really, really cool.
There were adults there. I saw them. And I was looking at you.
I was judging
you as I saw that.
They said some boosters and some donors were allowed to come
Stay
in.
Stay at home.
You know what? They're boosters and donors. Let them in.
Paying
good money.
Screw them.
No. Don't say screw the boosters and the
they
donors.
They are the problem here and have been for my whole life.
Well, they also are paying the bills. So.
Well, both those things.
Both things can be true.
Yeah. I don't know how we work through that.
You don't. You live with it. Watching film, Chris Beard saw a really, really enthusiastic student out of the 3,000 students that were in there, and one of them had on, I guess, a Texas Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, kid was had to be higher than a kite, and this is not defamation. I mean that as a compliment. You're a UT.
He was lit. He was lit.
Yeah,
he was lit.
But he's doing the shooting motion way before. Like he was feeling the shot, man.
He was
before it happened, bro.
I mean, the Minister of Culture would have been proud. Was the Minister of Culture there? Is he still the Minister of Culture?
Yes, he's still.
I don't know. Trey,
help us out here.
Is he still that? Because he was at the shot.
Trey was already 2 minutes in. Was already on his laptop. He's like, I'm done.
I'm done.
To book Matthew Odom for the Shirts and Skins show next week because his dining guide is out as of today, apparently.
Ooh.
But I think McConaughey, if he were asked to reinsert himself into that role, he would. But that did just kind of fade away with the end of the Shaka Smart era.
Did. Yeah, Chris Beard's like, nah.
I forgot that was Shaka related.
So maybe Chris Beard was like, I don't want you that close, bro.
Well, I know. I'm sure Chris Beard would love to have him because it only helps with promotion. Oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely not
like,
that.
He was like on the bench and hanging out and giving speeches to the team during breaks. That was
And our defense got better, which says a lot about what Marquette has right now.
Marquette just had a big win not too long ago, I thought.
They did.
Didn't they have a big one? Oh, good for Shaka. Well, anyway, this kid was so enthusiastic. He caught the eye of Chris Beard during the film session. And Chris Ogden, actually, he invited him to practice. So
this I believe about Ogden.
Yeah, so the young man went to practice and then got a chance to sit in on a film session, which they videoed and then they put out on social media, of the Hawaiian shirt kid. And basically said, we found him. He took a picture with Chris Beard, and then Chris Beard gave a full kind of film breakdown of the young man and his enthusiastic support of the Texas basketball team. It's really cool, and I don't know if it's going to be a thing you're going to make, a tradition, but now you got students who have this and that, I guess his idea in the head that, you know,
so
what, if
smart.
I go there
so
and I go there early enough and I stand out and I'm enthusiastic enough that Chris Beard will see me and he will bring me into the locker room and give me the honor that he gave this kid.
This is the Mark Pena of UT baseball. This is the Rob Frazier when I was at Westlake. Shout out to Rob, who's a lawyer now. Rob was always the coolest guy at Westlake. And I mean that as not overly cool. Got along with everyone.
Everyone
loved Rob. Ended up being homecoming king. Landslide.
Ferris Bueller of the school.
Great way to look at it. Yeah. Really funny, smart ass, kind of fit everything.
Yeah.
But Rob was that guy. Like sophomore year would be there, and he was like over the top fan and knew his stuff. And you're trying to recreate more of those.
Yeah.
And that's what Beard's doing with this. And this kid was. You could tell, fired up right below the rim, and so got there early, wanted to be there. He's doing the shooting motion, elbow in too, wasn't winging out, and had a nice little follow through.
Yeah.
And then when the ball goes through, he just is all
just
about
it.
You try and find as many of those guys or gals as you can.
Because they're committed. They'll come on a Tuesday night.
They're committed.
Right? It's 7:30.
They'll be the first ones when they are putting tents out there and sleeping, if they will, outside of Moody. Who'll be that kid?
No, actually won't be that kid.
He'll be 28 and be that guy.
No, you're right about that.
He'll be homeless, but that's a different story.
Different story. All right, we'll come back. We come back, we'll get to some Texas football news, notes, and nuggets, the Gary Patterson story, rumors. We got to get into that a little bit. Also, we'll review the All Big 12 teams that are released, all that and more. Start off the 5 o'clock hour right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.